Okay. James chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfilment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Our second reading is from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, then 14 to 15, and finally 21 to 23. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there were also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "As I have prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honours me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lanny. I'd like to invite you to just turn to two or three people next to you. What is it that you heard from either of those two readings? What stood out for you, or what did you hear? Just for 30 seconds or so. Yeah. Well, we must have found something exciting in those readings. Listen to the chatter. It's great. Or are you just talking about the weather? What football? I think we are asked to believe in some pretty amazing things these days. Pretty amazing claims. Miraculous. Revolutionary. The greatest ever. The best show on earth. New and improved. 40% bigger. Up to 87.5% off. This Monday only. $10 quilts. You've got to haggle. You got to. I won't do the little dance. Hurry, this offer ends this Saturday. This Saturday. Remember that guy on the TV selling cars somewhere up in the northern suburbs? It's this Saturday. This Saturday. We are inundated by a flood of extravagant claims, advertising, that products are new. New formulas, new and improved, fantastic, will change your life. For only a few dollars more, we could have brighter clothes, whiter teeth, glamorous hair, tastier food, cars that do amazing things that almost, well, in fact, they're probably driving themselves soon. And an ad I saw on TV just last night. There's this young guy in school, he's typical young adolescent, pimply face, angly hair, not really great to look at. There's a girl, he's keen on her, she doesn't even notice him. His mate comes up to him with extra chewing gum and he chews it and wow, she's so excited by him. Chewing gum can change your relationships. But there's a lot of talk out there. A lot of talk, and talk is potentially cheap. And all too often we realise that when all said and done, perhaps the election is over and the dust settles and the winning party, the claims that they have said they'll do, perhaps don't happen and or not the way and, gee, they could be further from the truth, etc. They make, and we make, a lot of claims. Jesus is the answer. This church is the best church. Believe in God. Follow me to this church. Sing that hymn or this song and it'll be right. We make great claims too. Professing to trust God and to be God's people, they and we sometimes don't measure up. Sometimes we don't even live up to that call. Claiming to have all the right answers, sometimes we contradict our own lives. So says Jesus, and so says James. With energetic style and crisp and well-chosen words and often challenging words, James, the epistle writer, the back of the New Testament, confronts us. Confronts us with wishy-washy Christianity head on. He says it's not enough to just talk the Christian faith. You've actually got to live it. That's a paraphrase of James. For in James chapter 2, verse 40, which we didn't read, it just goes on, which is probably in a reading in the next week or two, says this, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Or actions. You see, it's not enough, says James, to just offer lip service and say the right things. We must practice what we preach. We must not only talk the talk, but we must walk the walk. And I think James is emphasizing in the letters a fusion of theory and practice, a coming together of an application of faith. Now, we can thank God, literally, praise and thank you, God, that Martin Luther of the 16th century and the reformers didn't burn the epistle of straw. The epistle of straw, they called, is James. the letter of James, the epistle of straw, because it was nothing. It focused on the wrong things. Luther called the epistle of James because he thought the emphasis was on doing good works. Salvation rather than relying on faith. Faith alone. Luther's bias was St. Paul, who preached salvation by grace alone, by faith alone, and nothing else but grace and faith. Is that all there is? Simple belief and faith in God? Well, yes and no. I think there's more truth in one's Christianity when one expresses their faith in action rather than just mouthing off some pat-down theological cliches. And that, I think, is James's bias. Not contradicting Paul, and hence Luther, but providing a balance and a rebuke to a Christian community who perhaps might be sitting back and watching the suffering world go by and not doing anything about it. And maybe that's why Jesus got so hot on the Pharisees. Such an attack on the Pharisees, to call them hypocrites to their face. For the Pharisees would just talk the talk, but would not walk the walk. Let's listen to that passage, a part of that passage from Mark's Gospel, this time from the Message Bible, a paraphrase. The Pharisees and religious scholars asked, "Why do your disciples flout the rules, showing up at meals without washing their hands?" Jesus answered, "Isaiah was right about you frauds, and hit the bullseye, in fact. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshipping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy, ditching God's command and taking up the latest fads." Well, that reminds me of what God actually requires of us. We might know the verse from Micah chapter 6 quite well. It's a favorite of many, and it says this: "And what does the Lord require? What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." In other words, James says, be doers of the word, not merely hearers. Talk the talk and walk the walk. All action is a sign of our heart's intention. Even inaction is a choice. To do nothing is a choice to do nothing. Christianity calls for a social response, not out of a desire or to focus on the work on us, but rather, more importantly, a response to the Word, a response to the gospel of love and grace. Practical Christianity, a fusion of faith and action, works and actions together with faith. James would remind us that it is faith and actions that go together. Not works and faith, a fine line you might say, but yes, works, well, will not and cannot produce faith. Cannot produce faith. Therefore, Luther is correct. But let us remember that Luther and the reformers were fighting against the church system that believed you could buy your way to heaven, that you could buy what was called indulgences. And you could buy them on behalf of your family. You could store them up for a rainy day, an insurance policy. That's one of the whole points of the Reformation, along with communion and other things. You could buy your way to heaven. James, on the other hand, is taking aim at the freeloaders who claim they have no need for good works since they had faith. But just having faith and hearing without action is dead. Jesus never wrote a book, as far as we know. Never drew up a creed or a manual. Was not interested in recording his thoughts in unalterable doctrine. He didn't set 10 keys to a successful church or 5 keys to spiritual growth or whatever it might be. But Jesus put his words into action. And he asked and commanded the people to do the same. His great word was not "this say," but rather "this do." Do this. He's not commanded us to repeat creeds or to perform deeds, but to put our love into action. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because God first loved us. Let us not just hear and say, "Oh, that's nice. It's a nice little warm and fuzzy little saying. Makes me feel good. God loved me. I love God. That's okay." But rather, let's act on it, says James. Like the Nike ad, just do it. We call ourselves the church, and we call ourselves Christian. And James and Jesus calls us to be doers of the word and not just listeners. Faith and works, faith and action are not opposites. They go hand in hand. Jesus sums up the Ten Commandments by saying, "Love God and love others." Put love into action. Make love your action with your heart and soul and mind and strength. Not only did Jesus teach this, he stressed its importance. But it's what he did and what he calls us to. He talked the talk and walked the walk. When we love in practical ways, in action, we are fulfilling the law of love. And that is the call of the gospel and the message of the epistle of Straw. Put love into action. Amen.